is The Morning Rush with Bill Carroll on News Talk 580 CFRA and the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Thursday morning. Hey, do we have a Thursday, anything like that? No, because it's sort of Friday for it's many people. Friday, yeah, what the hell? Just go with that. It's Friday for all intents and purposes. Not for all intensive purposes. That's not the saying. But for all intents and purposes, it's Friday. And I'm gonna manage my mood accordingly. How are you? We're headed to the weekend.
Carol's Coffee. And hot takes. Breakfast item number one.
Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says his government is working to support renters across the country as part of next month's federal budget.
We're announcing new protections for renters and new pathways to home ownership. As part of our upcoming budget, we're going to create a Canadian Renters Bill of Rights.
You're going to create a what now? A Canadian Renters Bill of Rights. Okay. So this guy has sat on his hands for the past couple of years, deliberately letting Canada's population explode without any thought to where people were going to live. And now he's going to give us a Renters Bill of Rights. It's not going to build one more rental property. That's going to just determine who wins the battle over the very few housing units there are to rent. That's all. That's all it's going to do. It's going to pick winners and losers. It doesn't create more rental space for anyone. If anything, it could create less, because you want to de-incentivize landlords, give renters more power.
Bad landlords are still landlords, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Or a landlord who just wants to make a profit.
Mm-hmm.
Do we expect landlords? You know what, Katie? I want you and your husband to take your hard-earned money, the money you've put aside to buy a house for yourself. Forget that. I want you to build a rental property for somebody else. Now, I don't want you to make any money on it. I need you to lose money, because you're doing this out of the goodness of your heart.
Perfect.
And we're going to make it very difficult to evict someone who doesn't pay their bills, and very difficult to raise the rent, even during inflation when all of your costs go up. So are you still interested?
Oh, yeah. Sign me up.
Yeah, right. Of course. Plus, I can't wait to see how he's going to do that. It has provincial territory written all over it. How? What is he going to make it a criminal code offense to treat your tenants badly? I honestly don't know how he does it. It doesn't sound like it's an area the federal government can do much in. But I guess we'll wait and see. But I'm not excited about it, because I don't think it's going to do any good. But nice try, Justin. At least you look like you're doing something, which seems to be kind of your thing.
Item number two.
Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says conservative politicians across Canada, including premiers, are lying to Canadians about carbon price.
Conservative premiers across this country are misleading Canadians, are not telling the truth.
Yeah, you know who else is misleading Canadians and not telling the truth? He is on carbon prices. This idea that the end result is the world is suddenly saved is BS, and Canadians know it. I was listening to a panel discussion in Toronto yesterday, and I heard somebody make the argument. It sounds good on the surface. You know, if you ask Canadians, the polling's been done. If you ask Canadians, do they care about climate change? They answer yes. You ask them if they want to pay $400 more a year to solve the problem, and suddenly they say no. No, finish the thought, though. That's not really it. If I thought, seriously, we could reverse climate change by paying a few hundred dollars a year more in carbon prices, I would be happy to do it.
Yes.
What Canadians are smart enough to know is the original policy is a lie. It doesn't do anything to solve an international problem. It doesn't even make a dent in an international problem. He gets to say that he's doing something about it. And he was so fearful for doing what he wanted to do, which is just make you pay more so you change your behavior, he realized he would lose an election on that. So he said, I'll give you a rebate at the same time. So he watered down his own program. And now Canadians, they forget that they get a rebate on one hand. And they also know that over time, probably the rebates won't go up, but the carbon taxes will. And sooner or later, the balance is going to tip. They're very suspicious of the future, and they should be. So, yeah, a lot of people are lying about the carbon taxes.
Item number three.
Statistics Canada says the country's population grew faster last year than it has any time since the 1950s, reaching almost 40.8 million people.
About 98% of population growth was explained by international migration. And in fact, it's mostly the temporary immigration component that is driving population growth in Canada.
That's what I was talking about before. I mean, that's something you're largely in control of. There are going to be some people show up on your doorstep and they're claiming refugee status, harder to deal with. But we've allowed people to show up and we've offered nowhere for them to live. Slowly turning ourselves into a third world country. Pretty soon, Canadians will be leaving this country and showing up on somebody else's doorstep.
Item number four.
The Center for Addictions and Mental Health is calling on the federal government to restrict gambling advertising to protect youth mental health.
Their brains are malleable. They're growing. They're still changing. And they're very susceptible to addictions during adolescence.
Good idea. Bad idea. I hate the advertising I see and hear everywhere about gambling now. Despise it. Mm-hmm. But I have a feeling if we were to put an end to it, PJ'd be gone next week. Mm-hmm. And a month after that, Katie'd be gone. Mm-hmm. And I'd be sitting here on my own. Okay, I'm not going to lie. That's not my real fear. My fear is in 2 weeks from now, I'll be gone. And PJ will be sitting where Katie is, and Katie will be sitting where I am, or they'll be sitting together where I am doing the show together. And yeah, broadcasting needs this money. It's a huge source of revenue, and it's a terrible place to get money. It feels like dirty money. It really does. But you know, everybody else is pouring their money into social media where, and I don't understand it. I don't find it very effective. There's not very often I see or hear something on social media that I respond to. I don't even notice advertising on social media. But, you know, if you got a billboard up there and I'm sitting at the intersection, I look up and read it. That can affect me or not, but
it, or, you know, three different gambling commercials in a commercial break when you're watching any sports game or any new TV show coming out. I've never thought about gambling so much since I've started watching sports games. It's just, it's insane. And it definitely is getting younger. A lot of people younger are starting to look into it, which is scary.
PJ, did you bet against yourself in that fight in Kingston?
I did not. No, that would, I think that's illegal.
I would hope.
Well, there
it
you
is.
Go. PJ would have. PJ also would have been in that.
But
gambling.
People probably gambled on those fights. No.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, I think there was a couple sites that you could bet on. You know, because it was a popular show in Ontario. It's mm-hmm. like the biggest MMA show, but I don't know. Like, I don't think people lost a lot of money betting on me.
Well, okay. So you're involved in a sport and you play and you watch a lot of sports. How do you feel about gambling? You're sitting there very quietly, putting your name closer to the top of that list of the first guy to go in 2 weeks from now if we stop gambling advertising.
Well, I'm the one who pushes the button, so I'm usually the last one to stay, right? But I like gambling. I think, like, especially with something like this, like, you have some people need to make their own mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if you tell people they can't drink or smoke, then they go and drink and smoke. And
yeah, but we don't allow tobacco advertising.
No, but we used to. There's still, you know, alcohol.
We used to, but there's still alcohol. Yeah.
And like, when I, just my own personal experience, when I was a kid, I was, you know, my grandfather was really into online poker. So then I went to college and got into online poker. And then I maxed out my first credit card. And then I was stressed.
No, I'm asking an addict how he feels about online.
But then I, advertising. So now I don't gamble. Like, I'll bet a dollar on a hockey game here and there. But like, and like, maxing out my credit card when you're in college was $500. But that was a lot of money to me. And then I realized that I had, you know, I probably shouldn't be doing this, because you get like in that motion, okay, one more game and I got to win my money back, and you realize the slippery slope.
Yeah, I have a friend who says, and he was a big gambler before it became legal, and he always, every time I talked to him about it, he won. I won. People find new definitions of win, because if he won as often as he did, he'd be living in a much bigger house. And not working. He'd be retired. He'd be gambling full time. But people have a way of convincing themselves that they'll win. So I, in the end, back to where I started here, I'm torn about it. I hate it. But I don't know how mainstream broadcasting survives without it. That's the problem we find ourselves in. 6:15 and plus 3 is the morning rush.